Goedemorgen. Dit is Hour of Power, een programma waar heel veel mensen al heel lang naar uitkijken. En nu is het zover, het is zondagmorgen 9 uur. Hartelijk welkom en ik weet dat deze dienst een aantal bijzondere verrassingen heeft. Onder andere Daniel Rodriguez die zingt en Robin McGraw, de echtgenote van Dr. Phil, spreekt in de Crystal Cathedral over de uitdagingen van de vrouwen en wat je daarmee in je leven kunt doen door ze goed toe te passen. En dan in Hour of Power Nederland, Jaap van der Spek. Hij is directeur van de PCOB. Die hebben net een identiteitsnota gepubliceerd voor de 4,6 miljoen ouderen die Nederland telt. En daarover vertelt hij. En zo, met heel veel muziek vanuit de Crystal Cathedral, wordt het een hele mooie dienst. En ik wens iedereen een fijne tijd toe bij het kijken naar dit programma.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
The Crystal Cathedral. It is a wonderful day to be able to feel the presence of God and connect with Him through prayer and through singing and through His, just feeling His and being around His people. And so we are here today, and I want to invite you right now to extend your love to those who are standing around you right now. Reach out and say, God loves you, and so do I. Well, we have a very special service today. We have the success behind a man you all know. Her name is Robin McGraw. Her husband is Dr. Phil. You see her every time you watch the show. She has written a new book entitled Inside My Heart, and she's our guest today. We have at the organ J. Christopher Pardini. Now, we also have the president of Hope College, who's going to be reading the scripture for us. His name is James Boltman. And let me just say this. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here in this place, this very moment, that you brought us here. You brought us here for a reason, for a purpose. You're touching our minds, you're touching our hearts, you're touching our souls, you're flowing through us today. And so explode within our soul the realization of who you are and what you can do through our lives, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, I was in college. Some people said, no, that's a few decades, and that would be true as well. And when I was there, there was a coach. His name was Coach Jim. He was the assistant football coach. He was also the coach of the baseball team. Well, in the last 35 years, Coach Jim is now President James E. Boltman. He is the 11th president of Hope College in Holland, Michigan. Would you please give him a very warm Crystal Cathedral welcome? James, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning, and we're glad you could be here. Only 11 presidents in the history of the school. It makes it sound like the school is not very old.
Well, actually, it's quite old, almost 150 years. There's been great longevity in the presidency at Hope.
Wow. That really is amazing to have only 11 presidents in such a long history. And do you think that has anything to do with the character that school has developed through the years?
Well, Hope has a wonderful character, exceptionality in academics, and a vibrant Christian faith dimension. This is our continuing passion.
Well, we're really honored that you're here. Are you going to be reading scripture for us today?
I am. Thank you for the privilege of being here.
Thank you.
And thank you, Robert, for who you are as a person. All of us at Hope are so proud of your ministry, proud
thank
of your
you.
Family, and
thank
we cherish your friendship.
Thank you.
Listen to these wise words of King Solomon from Proverbs chapter 3. My child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and others. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. May God add His blessings to the reading of His Word.
Yeah.
Well, 29 years ago, our guest met a struggling young man and got married. And thanks to her input in his life, he actually did something with his life. Robin McGraw has been an anchor to her husband, both personally and professionally. In addition to being seen every day on the Dr. Phil Show, Robin is a board member of the Dr. Phil Foundation, a nonprofit organization committed to supporting programs that address the emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual needs of children and families. Robin McGraw has been a featured speaker here at our annual Women's Conference and is a highly sought-after new author. In her debut book entitled Inside My Heart, Choosing to Live with Passion and Purpose, Robin advises women how to recognize and develop their unique role for greater satisfaction with themselves, their profession, their family life, and anything they strive for, and to simply be the best they can be. Would you please welcome the wife of Dr. Phil, Robin McGraw. Robin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God loves you and so do we.
Thank you.
So you wrote this book, Inside My Heart, Choosing a Life with Passion and Purpose. I started reading it last night.
Oh, did you?
And my wife started reading it this morning, and as I was getting ready, she came down and she was wiping her eyes. She goes, it's such a touching book. I'm so touched.
Oh,
she loves
you.
It.
Thank you.
It's a great book.
Thank you.
But before we talk more about the book, tell me what it's like being Mrs. Phil, Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, people ask me a lot of times what it's like to live with Dr. Phil, and I immediately say, I don't live with Dr. Phil, I live with a man. Do I need to say any more? And we have now been married 30 years. We've been together 34 years, but in August it was 30 years that we've been married.
And you have how many children? Yeah, that's, you can applaud that. That's terrific.
Thank you. We have two boys, and Jay is 27, and just got married to adorable Erica. I'm now a mother-in-law, very proud to be. And our youngest, Jordan, is a sophomore at USC.
Hi. Yes, I know that school well. My daughter goes to USC.
No, she does. She's a beautiful girl,
girl. Thank you. So you have a foundation to help children. You must have a real heart for children.
I have a huge heart for children, yes. I've said before that I have always believed I was put on this earth to be a wife and mother. It's something that I've wanted to do as young as I can remember. I always wanted to be a mother, and thankfully I have the privilege of being a mother to two precious young boys. And so, yes, they're grown. And a lot of my full-time mothering is over, so I am thrilled to devote all of my energy and time now to the Dr. Phil Foundation to helping other children.
Part of your interest in helping other children has to do with what your childhood was like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are too many people who really understand what your childhood was like, but your opening chapter explains it pretty clearly.
Right. I felt very, very loved by both my parents, but my father was an alcoholic and a gambler, and as much as he loved me, I have to say he loved that bottle just as much, because every day of my life was lived in uncertainty, because I never knew for sure what day would today be the day Daddy didn't come home, and would this be the day, if he hadn't been home in a few days, would this be the day he might come home, and is he out gambling what little bit we have, because we were very, very poor growing up, and it was very scary. It was very scary. And I have to say, a large part of the reason that I am married to Philip today is because of my childhood. Because I can remember when I was very young making a decision, never, ever would I marry a man that wasn't a Christian and that drank. So when I met Philip, that was one of the first, honestly, the first two questions I asked him, are you a Christian and do you drink alcohol? And he answered both those questions correctly. And that's really, truly, I believe, why we are together today.
So that was the foundation.
Yes, that was definitely the foundation of our relationship.
Wow. Well, you got started right.
Thank you.
Where did you develop this spiritual foundation?
You know, the one thing my mother did do for us from the moment we were born, she taught us about God. She took us to church. She prayed with us. She taught us how to believe in God and how to walk with God in our life. But it was from a very young age that she would tell us, and, you know, it's going to be your decision when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. She said, I can take you there, but I can't make that decision for you. Only you can do that, and only you will know when. And I can remember being very young, 5 and 6 years old, saying, Mom, how will I know? You know, is someone going to call me on the phone? Is it going to come in the mail? How will I really know? And she'd always have this beautiful smile on her face and just this peaceful look, and she'd say, you'll just know. And when I was 9 years old, I was in church with my grandmother. It was the summertime, and we used to love to go visit her. She lived in a little tiny town in Garber, Oklahoma, belonged to a beautiful little country church. And it was really, going to church with her was like going to a family reunion. All of the people there belonged. It was as if it was one family. And all the women would bring this delicious food. And we would always stay after church and eat this delicious lunch. And honestly, I was sitting there one day with her thinking about that lunch. Thinking, oh yeah, I'm hungry. I can't wait to get in there and eat some of that food. I wonder what they brought today. And then just kind of in one ear, I heard her pastor invite anyone who was ready to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to come on down and join him. And, you know, I heard that, and I heard it inside my heart, really, truly, from inside my heart. And I just knew that was the day. Sitting there next to my grandmother, she didn't have to nudge me or, you know, encourage me to go. I just knew. And that was the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I have to say, from that day forward, that was the foundation, the basis of which I have lived my life. So, of course, when I knew I was marrying a man or going to fall in love with a man, that was a number one responsibility, was to find out, you know, are you a Christian? And
wow, how beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, God's amazing how he chooses people and gives them exactly what they need.
I agree. Thank you.
What is your message that you want to convey to people? Choosing to live with passion and purpose is the subtitle of the book.
I wrote it woman to woman, and just encourage all women to find out what it is they need to live the life that they believe they were meant to live, to have what they need in their life, and not to accept anything less than that.
Is it a process or is it a destination?
It's a process every day. Every day it's a process. I believe that we all make choices. We have the opportunity to make choices in our life, and it's something I believe and that I do every day of our life. We can make a decision, but you have to live that decision. And sometimes it's hard, and life is not perfect, and it's not easy. But it's always just not to forget you, not to forget what's important to you. Because, you know, I believe women are many things to many people. We're wives, mothers, sisters, daughters, everything. And but first, we're women. And I just encourage women not to forget that.
That's wonderful. Well,
thank you.
Well, Robin, we want to thank you for coming and for sharing your message with us today and for sharing your heart in this book. You
thank
really
you.
Do. You open and you're very, very clear as to who you are and the struggles you go through and how it's made you into the person you are.
Thank you.
And so we thank you for coming
My
here.
Pleasure.
We thank you for sharing this book with us. God loves you.
Thank you.
And so do we.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
My rock in whom I trust. to shine like the sun. Nor the arrow that flies by day. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you.
Daniel Rodriguez zong dat prachtig lied On Eagle's Wings, op de vleugels van een adelaar. En dan kun je heel hoog opstijgen. Er leven in Nederland 4,6 miljoen ouderen. Dat zijn mensen boven de 50. En een heleboel mensen zijn ervan boven de 60 en de 70. En Jaap van der Spek is directeur van de PCOB. Dat is de Protestant-Christelijke Ouderenbond. De snelst groeiende ouderenorganisatie van Nederland. Jaap, heel veel PCOB, Protestant-Christelijke Ouderen, kijken, omdat ze ouder zijn en niet meer naar de kerk kunnen, naar Hour of Power, heb ik begrepen.
Ja, dat klopt. Wij krijgen heel veel reacties over de uitzendingen ook. Maar overigens is dat niet alleen mensen die niet naar de kerk kunnen gaan. We krijgen ook veel reacties van mensen die wel naar de kerk gaan. Maar dan toch, voordat ze om 9:45 de fiets of pakken of lopende op weg gaan, of soms de auto pakken, een heleboel mensen kijken voor die tijd nog even naar Hour of Power.
Nou, dat is leuk dat je hier bent, want er zijn heel veel oudere kijkers bij Hour of Power die ook een vraag hebben over hun toekomst en hun zekerheid. Daar heeft de PCOB zich sterk voor gemaakt en jullie hebben net een nota gepubliceerd.
Ja, de PCOB is een van de organisaties die voor ouderen in Nederland opkomen. En wij doen dat gebaseerd eigenlijk op onze christelijk-sociale achtergrond. En om dat vorm te geven hebben we inderdaad een soort nota gemaakt. We noemen dat een basisdocument, en het woord spreekt natuurlijk voor zichzelf. Van waaruit wij proberen ons werk te doen. En dat basisdocument, dat hebben we met elkaar gebaseerd op wat uit de Bijbel tot ons komt. En waar je dan een vertaling voor moet zien te vinden voor het doen en laten elke dag.
Dat basisdocument of die doelstelling valt uit in drie principes, hè?
We hebben drie thema's daarin geprobeerd duidelijk te maken. Het eerste thema is zorg hebben voor elkaar. Een zekere barmhartigheid, naaste liefde. Je vindt vooral bij onze afdelingen in het hele land dat daar vindt het een beetje plaats. Bijeenkomsten worden georganiseerd, mensen worden bezocht. En als mensen zelf graag ook weer contacten met andere mensen willen hebben, dan kan dat ook met de PCOB. Overigens is het zo dat in een aantal dorpen en wijken van steden dat er samenwerking gebeurt met kerken. Maar ook op een heleboel plaatsen is dat niet zo. En kunnen mensen toch bij de PCB terecht als zij graag wat gezelschap willen hebben van andere mensen.
Ja, is er iets moois? Zorg voor elkaar. Maar wij zitten natuurlijk in een samenleving waar de zorg onder druk staat. Hè? Met name de zorg gaat te veel kosten. En aan de andere kant hebben die jongeren die zeggen, ja, maar moet je horen, al die ouderen, het zal mijn zorg zijn, maar daar wil ik niet voor betalen.
Ja, er zijn natuurlijk een heleboel beelden van de werkelijkheid van vandaag de dag. Ik denk dat het belangrijk is om te constateren dat als je met mensen zelf praat, met jongeren en ouderen, dan is dat vaak, geeft dat heel ander beeld dan wat in de media tot je komt.
Oh ja?
Daar zie je veel dat mensen worden afgeschilderd, ouderen als mensen die langzamerhand steeds meer geld hebben om allerlei leuke dingen te doen. En daardoor de mogelijkheid hebben om op reis te gaan. Nou, voor een gedeelte van de mensen is dat inderdaad ook wel zo. Maar ik zie in de werkelijkheid van alle dag dat er heel veel aandacht is voor elkaar. Dat er heel veel mantelzorg wordt gedaan. Dat er heel veel vrijwilligerswerk wordt gedaan door ouderen en jongeren. En ik zie ook dat heel veel jongeren goed weten weer te geven hoe het gaat met ouderen en omgekeerd. Een mooi voorbeeld daarvan. We hebben op onze laatste algemene vergadering een toespraakje gehad van de nieuwe voorzitter van de CNV-jongeren. En die heeft ook met eigenlijk als voorbeeld zijn eigen relatie met zijn eigen grootmoeder aangegeven dat je als jongeren ook niet uit moet zijn op spanningen in de generaties. En wij vinden vanuit onze identiteit en vanuit alles wat we daar verder uit laten voortvloeien, dat wij wel op rechten kunnen gaan staan, maar vooral ook ons weet moeten hebben van verantwoordelijkheden die we hebben, ook om generatiespanningen te voorkomen en om te zorgen dat ook een samenleving van over 10, 20 en 30 jaar zodanig is ingericht dat jongeren en ouderen prima met elkaar kunnen samenleven.
Nou, dat lijkt me prachtig. Het lijkt wel een kerk, want er zit ook iedereen bij elkaar, jong en oud. Wat is het tweede punt?
Het tweede punt is rechtvaardigheid. En daaronder valt bijvoorbeeld solidariteit, naar draagkracht handelen. En daar loop je aan tegen wat er op dit moment in de zorg, je zei het net al even, gebeurt. Heel veel zorg wordt als het ware neergelegd bij mensen zelf. In die zin dat de veronderstelling is dat iedereen alle mogelijkheden heeft om allerlei keuzes te doen. En als dat zo is, dan hoef je als overheid maar heel weinig meer te organiseren. Nou, wij maken ons over erg grote zorgen over een zorg die daarop is gebaseerd. Want wij zien een heleboel mensen die niet meer in staat zijn om hun eigen leven goed in te richten en die echt hulp nodig hebben. Maar we zien ook een heleboel mensen die dat allemaal prima kunnen, maar met zoveel ontzettend, met zoveel dingen geconfronteerd worden die ook nog eens heel ingewikkeld zijn, dat ze door de bomen het bos niet meer kunnen vinden. En dat ook die mensen ogenschijnlijk allerlei keuzevrijheden hebben, maar dat de werkelijkheid er anders uitziet. En dan moet je ontzettend uitkijken met sociale systemen overboord te zetten. En daarvoor in de plaats die keuzevrijheid en de regie bijvoorbeeld van de zorgverzekeraars. Ik denk dat we ons nog best zorgen moeten maken over hoe dat in de toekomst zal gaan.
Derde punt.
Het derde punt is het rentmeesterschap. Dat wil dus eigenlijk zeggen dat je ook verantwoordelijk bent voor wat er nu in onze samenleving gebeurt en met ons land gebeurt en met de wereld gebeurt. Maar dat je dat ook bent voor de wereld van de toekomst. En en dat geeft je ook verantwoordelijkheden, geeft ook verplichtingen. Het betekent ook dat je als ouderen zorg moet hebben, bijvoorbeeld voor wat er in het milieu gebeurt.
Ja. Nou, vertel je het allemaal. Het gaat om 4,6 miljoen ouderen in Nederland. Maar zie je nou ook die ene, die mevrouw Zevenhoog op een bejaardenflat, of ik noem maar wat, die eigen schoonmoeder?
Ja hoor, even los van het feit dat mijn schoonmoeder heel graag naar Hour of Power kijkt. Wel degelijk is het zo dat je individuele mensen voor ogen hebt als je probeert oplossingen te vinden voor wie dat nodig hebben. Het is een organisatie die heel vitaal is, vitale mensen, maar die wel één ding voor ogen hebben, dat zwakkeren in onze samenleving een kans moeten krijgen.
Oké, daar kan ik me helemaal bij aansluiten. En wij vinden het fijn dat we met die wekelijkse uitzending ook zoveel mogen betekenen voor oudere mensen. We krijgen ook heel veel fijne reacties erop. Jaap, het is net een nieuw boek verschenen van dominee Schuller, Het geheim achter geluk. Dat gaat over de uitspraken van Jezus die hij deed in die prachtige bergreden. Zalig, gelukkig zijn de zachtmoedigen. Nou, daar heb je het over. We moeten zachtmoedig zijn voor elkaar. Mag ik je dit boek geven?
Heel graag.
En heel hartelijk bedanken. Dat is wel leuk voor jou. Je bent organist in je eigen kerk. We gaan zo meteen kijken naar Christopher Pardini, die oud-organist van de Crystal Cathedral. Ja. Die gaat een heel mooi stuk.
Speciaal, nou, ik stel me er ook heel veel van voor.
Ja, speciaal voor jou spelen. Maar we gaan eerst nog iets aan u vragen.
Gelukkig zijn, dat wil iedereen toch? Het is een behoefte van alle tijden en plaatsen. Jezus sprak er al over in zijn bergreden en gaf ons aan de hand van de zogenaamde zaligsprekingen een handleiding voor het leven. Hij weet dat we het niet altijd makkelijk hebben en laat ons zien waar we het geluk kunnen vinden. Het zijn deze woorden, de zaligsprekingen, waar dominee Schuller een boek over schreef. Het geheim achter geluk. In 8 hoofdstukken legt hij uit hoe we de aanwijzingen van Jezus in ons hart kunnen verankeren. Hij behandelt iedere zaligspreking afzonderlijk en laat zien wat deze woorden kunnen betekenen als we ze toepassen in ons dagelijks leven. Bent u gelukkig? Als u deze vraag inspirerend of juist confronterend vindt, is dit een boek voor u. Wij sturen u het geheim achter geluk toe als u nu donateur wordt van Hour of Power. Als donateur maakt u deze uitzendingen mogelijk en neemt u actief deel aan de verkondiging van het evangelie. En daar is dringend behoefte aan. Met een maandelijkse bijdrage maakt u het mogelijk dat de uitzendingen op televisie te zien blijven. Aanmelden kan u direct op onze website www.hourofpower.nl of vraag een donateurskaart aan via ons kantoor 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank voor uw steun.
this ministry is going to be around on planet Earth on television for the next few hundred years at least. Thank you. What can I give you today? Something that I have never given to you before. It's a sentence. The concepts may not be new, but the sentence is, and the placing of the words are very significant. The text is first from Jesus. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not lose heart." Wow! And out of that, I've taken a theme in one sentence. The theme is applicable to every person in this auditorium, whatever your level of education, whatever your age, if you're 5 or if you're 100, whatever your age. Here's the sentence. How to take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into a dynamic achievement. That's, after my years of writing and study, is where I'm at these days. Because I've met a lot of people that we've inspired to become positive thinkers and possibility thinkers. But they didn't take the idea, which was just in here, and turn it into a dynamic achievement. Somewhere along the line, the idea got lost or it didn't work out. How do you take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into a dynamic achievement? Well, of course, it starts with spirituality, prayer. Luke 18, 1. Jesus said it, pray always and never lose heart. Now, okay, I've applied that sentence in 6 words. I'll give them all to you up front. They could all be 6 chapters in the book. You finish writing it. Number 1, think. Just the word think. The second, I'll come back to that. The second word is test the idea. Third word is try it. The fourth word is tackle it. The fifth word is track it. Don't lose it. And the sixth word is trust God. Never give up. Think of the 6 words, each a chapter. Think. You say, if you got a powerful, positive idea, you already got it? Not necessarily. It's an idea passing through your brain. That's all that it is at the beginning. And ideas, some of the most powerful, positive ideas, are not in your brain but a split fraction of a second. It was said years ago, when I was into the psychology studies after graduation, that an average of 10,000 ideas go through the average human brain in one day. I think today that could be more like 30 or 40,000 ideas because you have so much more input. So what do? You don't have time to grab them all. You don't even have time to prioritize them all, evaluate them, think. That's just one word because you got to hold on to that idea. Clem Stone, one of the greatest success people in the world, who gave 7-figure gifts more than once to this ministry and was once the richest man in the United States. And I had his funeral a few years ago. Clem Stone would give his motivational speech, and his last word is, finally, my last word to you, he would say, if you want to succeed, think. He'd walk off. Think. 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 You'd hear it still yell it going down the steps. Think. Think. We tend to be emotional. I won't go into that. Think. Maybe I better put it on a piece of notepad. Maybe you need to have a special slip in your Bible. I don't know, but think. Don't, or otherwise, you'll be a reactionary. And almost always, it's a negative reactionary, not a positive reaction. Because the idea is great because it's probably impossible today, or somebody would be doing it. We formed the first Church Growth Institute about 36 years ago, I guess, but it was the first Church Growth Institute on this campus. And ministers came. We said, to be a success, ask the question, find a need and fill it. Oh, you know the graduates. And we went into television, and they went on into building churches bigger and stronger than we would ever become. They would put the money into their buildings and programming. We put it into television. Why TV? We asked the questions. Would it be a great thing for God? Yes. Would it help people who are hurting? Yes. Is anybody else doing it? No. And became the world's first televised church service. Think. Number two, test it. Ask the right questions. That's how you test something. Ask the right questions. We've done that for 51 years here. Would it be a great thing for God? I got to get a yes. Would it help people who are hurting? Got to get a yes. Is anybody else doing anything about it? No. Then I'll try it. Secret of success is find a need and fill it. Ask the questions. And more than you realize, your ego will be dealt a severe blow just by asking a question from other people and listening to them. And is there a need for this product? Who needs it? Think, test. All of these six words begin with the word T. Take them down. Number three is then try. If it passes the test, you thought about it, you tested it, now try. Your greatest problem at this stage in any idea turning toward an achievement is inertia. Because when you try, people are going to hear about it. Yeah. That's scary. Because you put your ego on the line. Your name is on the can. Others can run away and walk away, but you can't. I've lived through that. You have no idea the emotional scars I have in my memory system. And I've tried to turn the scars into stars. But try. Start. Gotta get rid of inertia. Start small. Think tall. Start with nothing. But then think in terms of 40 and 50 years. How to take a powerful idea and turn it into a tremendous achievement. Think positively. Test carefully. Try in actuality. Beginning is half done. Now, test it and try it. Now, tackle it. Tackle it. Because as soon as you try, you're going to run into problems that you didn't imagine. I'll never forget. In fact, it's only the last few weeks I had the insight. Guess what? This may sound so non-humble, but I think you'll agree when you hear the story. We helped put a man on the moon. We did. Let me tell you. I got into this possibility thinking, wrote a few books, and I made a possibility thinker's creed, made a big poster out of it. And it says, the possibility thinker's creed, big letters, when faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I will keep on striving until I climb over, find a pass through, tunnel underneath, or simply stay and turn the mountain into a gold mine with God's help. Okay? Got a call one day. One of my dear friends, Walter Burke, he's president of McDonnell Douglas at the time. He said, Bob, yeah, Walter. Bob, you have any of those posters left? Sure. Can I come over and get one? Sure. He said, I just hung up with President Kennedy. Really? He said to me, Walter, I've decided to put a man on the moon. Now, we all know that's impossible, so we don't have to waste time telling me that. It's just some problems we got to solve, and it'll be possible. We need a rocket big enough to break away from gravity and put the man on the path to the moon. And I can't do that without you, Walter Burke, and McDonnell Douglas. And Walter says to me, that's why I'm calling. I need one of those posters, Bob. I want to put it on the wall behind my desk. I want to keep it there until the man walks on the moon. So he came over, got the poster, went back, nailed the big thing behind his desk instead of a pretty picture. And it was there, and he never took it down until the man walked on the moon. Think. Test it. Try it. Tackle it. Take that impossible problem. And as Walter Brooks said to me, no problem is ever a problem. It's always a collection of problems. Maybe time, maybe relationships, maybe money, maybe technical know-how. But it's always a collection. So what you've got to do is break it up into all the pieces and divide the pieces to the people in the world who are best able to solve that piece. Till you land up with only one piece left, and that gung-ho, everything is on that. And you'll break it. You'll make it. Think it, test it, try it, tackle it, track it. Oh, the trouble with people that can do what I'm asking you to do is they get too many good ideas. And they come to you because they know you're an achiever. You'll listen. And you have to learn to say, I can't handle that now. Track it. How do you take a powerful, positive idea and turn it into an epic achievement? Think, test, try, tackle, and track it. Keep it where it belongs in the priority scale. The sixth word is trust. Finally, trust God. Wow. We've done that for some years, and I've trusted you people. But I really trusted people that have been here, that have built this, and they're in heaven today. I no longer get their tithes. We no longer get their offerings. We're looking at a totally new generation. People. I'm asking you, if you're not a tither, I'm trusting you to tithe. I can't fail, and I don't want you to fail. My children all were raised on this. And one time, we were babysitting the four sons of my daughter, Sheila. And Ronald and I were babysitting, and we saw eight glasses with money in it. And we asked, what's that? Well, those two glasses belong to Jason. Those two belong to Christopher. Those two belong to Scott. Those two belong to Nikki. Oh, but they all got money in. Some of them don't have much money, but the others have quite a bit of money. What's it all about? Oh, they said, our parents taught us to tithe. And they gave each of us two glasses and said, anytime you get money, you take a tenth of it and put it in God's glass. That's his glass. And you take 9/10 of it, put it in your glass. And wow. So what they did, they gave them the glasses. Then they gave each boy 10 pennies. He said, put 1 penny in that glass. That's God's glass. Take 9 pennies and put them in your glass. They did. Then they gave them each nickels, 10 nickels. A nickel for God, 9 nickels for you. And then they upgraded it to dimes and gave each of them 10 dimes. 1 dime, God's glass. The other 9, they're yours. But we're looking at it. Arvella says to them, but, you know, God doesn't have much. You know, your glasses. Look at all the money in your glass. Why doesn't God have more? And they all said, he doesn't ask for any more. He doesn't ask for much. He lets you keep almost all of it. That's tithing. And I'll tell you, it works in all of life, beyond what you know. You say, what does that illustration have to do with tithing? Nothing to do with money. Let me tell you the illustration. Today, Jason, number one, is in law school. I wouldn't be surprised if he runs for president someday, and I don't know if I want to be dead or alive if that happens. And the second son, he's in theological seminary. Wow. Another grandson learning for the ministry, Christopher. And then the third one, Scott, he's in law enforcement. Got a great goal. Keep this country at peace. We're going to need good legal and police services. The fourth one, Nikki, he's studying to be an architect. He applied and was accepted to the 5 leading architectural schools in America, and he accepted the one at USC. Great school. It's where some of the greatest architects have graduated. He loves it. Top of the class, I think. If I'm wrong, don't correct me. Those are my 4 grandsons from 1 family. They're driven by faith. Where did they learn that faith? Where did I learn my faith? I learned it. But you don't forget it. That's how you spend your money. And you live on the results. Hey, what are your goals today? I'll give you one. If you've been an atheist, make a decision. Become a believer. If you're a Christian, make a decision. Set a goal to become one of the most beautiful human beings your friends will ever meet. Wow. If you're a churchman, make a decision to tithe. Stop debating it. The answer is obvious. Talk to the people who tried it. May God love you always and forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's been a good morning. Thank you that we've been challenged. And keep on challenging us to be more than we can be and to be more beautiful than we've ever imagined. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, pray for me, because we've been invited back to China and to lecture at the university in Beijing. And Mr. Schuller will be with me. And we'll be visiting our board headquarters in Hong Kong, where we broadcast in Chinese this service every week. And do not miss in-person Beth Quitty, whose daughter Natalie Holloway disappeared in Aruba. That's something else next week. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Geweldig wat dominee Schuller vertelde over het leven van Jezus en over de verstrekkende gevolgen die zijn woorden hadden. Nooit moeilijke verhalen, nooit met de vinger wijzen, maar altijd bewogen met de mensen om hem heen. En in simpele verhalen vertelde die voorbeelden waar we tot de dag van vandaag en tot het moment van nu ons voordeel mee kunnen doen. Heb je naast de lief als jezelf een grote, een moeilijke, een zware opdracht, maar mogelijk omdat hij het van ons vraagt. En ik denk dat het goed is om eens na te denken vandaag of morgen wie je in je omgeving nabij kunt zijn en kunt helpen en waar je kunt zeggen: God houdt van jou en dat doe ik ook. God love you and so do I. Nou, dan onze kersttournee. Dat gaat geweldig. Er worden volop kaarten aangevraagd voor de 5 concerten die we gaan houden. Het begint op 11 december in Rotterdam in de Lauwenskerk en we eindigen op 15 december in Apeldoorn. En daar ga ik het over vertellen, want dat is wel ontzettend leuk. Voorafgaand aan het concert kun je deelnemen aan een diner en dan de muzikale gast ontmoeten. Dat is dus Jan Mulder, Daniel Rodriguez en Angelique. En dat is heel leuk, want je dineert samen met hen en dan ga je naar het concert. Kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl voor meer informatie. En dan nog een vraag. Hour of Power is een vrijwilligersorganisatie. Ik zit hier ook als vrijwilliger en zo zijn er een heleboel mensen die het als een uitdaging ziet om iets te mogen betekenen voor dat prachtige werk van Hour of Power. Nou, op die avonden hebben we nog mensen nodig. Aan de deur om mensen welkom te heten, om plaatjes uit te delen, om verder te helpen. Dus wil je als vrijwilliger meewerken, laat dat aan ons weten. Dat kan ook via onze website of een telefoontje naar ons kantoor morgen. Nou, het was een hele mond vol, maar Hour of Power is een enthousiaste, groeiende organisatie met enthousiaste mensen die er helemaal van gaan. En dat is leuk om dat ook te kunnen melden. Hele goede zondag toegewenst en graag tot volgende week.
Man!